You're listening to an Epic Film Guys Cinema Beat Minisode.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Epic Film Guys Cinema Beat. We like to sit down and talk about movies. In fact, we like to review movies. This week, we're going to be talking about a little film that the majority of you have probably already seen by the time you get to this review, but hey, we can't let you have all the fun, so we're going to sit down and talk about it anyways. That's right, we're going to be talking about Marvel's Doctor Strange. I am Epic Film Guy Justin.
And I'm Epic Film Guy Brian.
And Epic Film Guy Brian, for those of our listeners out there that are not familiar with the Doctor Strange character at all whatsoever, why don't you tell them a little bit about who Doctor Strange is?
All right, so Doctor Strange follows the story of brilliant neurosurgeon Dr. Stephen Strange, who, following a tragic car accident, must put ego aside and learn the secrets of a hidden world of mysticism and alternate dimensions. Now Doctor Strange must act as an intermediary between the real world and what lies beyond, utilizing a vast array of metaphysical abilities and artifacts to protect the Marvel Cinematic Universe against evil.
Wow, that's a mouthful there. And for those of you out there that even know who the character is or not, regardless, Doctor Strange, I would have to say, going out on a limb, is a character that I was kind of excited to see put on the big screen. He's very, very different. You know, he's not a super soldier. He's not a billionaire that created an Iron Man suit. And he's not a guy that turns green when he gets angry and beats the shit out of people. This is a very different kind of character. And for those fantasy film fans out there, you know, this is a character that a lot of people have been waiting a long, long time, Brian, to see on the big screen or really get any kind of special treatment. I mean, there was, you know, a TV series in the works in the late 70s. They did do a pilot for that, a small film, a supposed film that was supposed to happen in the early 90s. And he's been in a lot of animated pictures, but this character's never gotten the cinematic treatment at all to this extent. So when I first saw the trailer and I saw who was involved with this, I had to say to you, I was a little bit excited because, you know, Marvel films, you guys out there that listen to the show, you know how Nick and I feel about it. Not Loisauce as much, but, you know, it's got to be something special. You got to throw something different at me. So I was hoping with this film that we were going to get that new, different film that was going to break the mold a little bit more than the typical Marvel film that we see. But are we going to get that? Did we get that? Do we think that we got that? We're going to get into that right now. So I'm going to throw it to you, Brian. We're going to just get it right in there on initial thoughts. So what were your initial thoughts on Doctor Strange?
It was good.
Do I hear like silence from the audience? Really? That's it? It was good? That's all you got for me. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, show's over. This is your review. Brian says it was good. No comment. Now,
see you next
man.
Week, folks.
You got to give me more than that. Just elaborate. What do you mean by it was good?
All right. This might be the first movie I've ever seen to somehow be simultaneously mind-blowing and old hat.
Oh.
The action sequences and visuals of Doctor Strange are next-level amazing. There are these massive, kaleidoscopic, gravity-defying action set pieces that are, like, genuinely thrilling and unlike anything I've ever seen. It's fun. It's exciting. It's well put together. There's nothing technically wrong with it. And yet, what I've noticed about the Marvel films, as they've continued being churned out at steady rates and with no signs of stopping, is that the formula is beginning to become more and more transparent, more and more recognizable. This is yet another origin story for Marvel, and while there's nothing inherently wrong with origin stories necessarily, I did find myself asking throughout the film, how many more of these types of movies can there be before it starts to get really old?
Well, the answer may be already at the tip of your tongue there, Brian. I know it's at the tip of mine. We're already there. And this goes back to the conversations that Nick and I have had on this podcast and that we've actually talked about years before Mr. Steven Spielberg himself even mentioned the term the comic book movie will become the modern day Western. And you know what? And it's already there, I feel like. It's been a really tough year, as we've talked about on the podcast. As far as comic book movies are concerned, we had a great but safe time with Civil War. It was really fun. Still, I'd have to say the best comic book movie of the year, but it was fine. We had Batman and Superman, which for a lot of people was a huge disappointment, along with DC's Suicide Squad. You know, so it's tough. You know, we're getting more and more of these films each year. It makes it hard to get excited for them. I myself have admitted on the show many times in the past couple of weeks, Brian, I am in what's called comic book movie fatigue. That's right. So I was optimistic for Doctor Strange, but I wasn't exactly sitting in my seat, amped up, excited, you know, twitching like I usually do, because we already had how many comic book movies this year? And I did forget to mention Deadpool. You know, that does fall in line under that category. So we've had a lot of them this year. So totally understand where you're coming from on that. With Doctor Strange, I have to totally agree with you. And I'd have to go out on a limb and say that it was one of the most visually stunning films of the year, and definitely one of the most visually stunning comic book movies ever made. I'm definitely throwing that out there because it gave us a visual aesthetic. It gave us something that we have yet to see in this genre, and it was definitely mind-blowing. And I will tell you this much here. I love my Alamo Drafthouse. I love it. I love it to death, but I wish that I chose to see this in a huge IMAX screen, and I might even go see it again because it was just so visually stunning. The scope of this thing was just so huge, and rightly so. We're dealing with a fantasy-driven character. Again, this is not Captain America. This is not Hulk. This is not Iron Man. All those characters, you know, have a visual aesthetic that can be mind-blowing on screen, but this is a character that is pure fantasy. And I feel that they did a fantastic job of this. I honestly, Brian, I was in awe many times during the film. I just sat back and said, I'm seeing something that I've never seen before on screen.
Yeah, absolutely. The problem is, Justin, it has all these amazing things going for it, but the structure is very similar to something like an Iron Man or a Thor. It does seem to hit a lot of the same story beats as those films. Now, I don't blame Marvel at all, because like why fault a formula when the formula obviously works? I mean, it's brought them nothing but success so far. And trust me, I would rather watch 100 movies like Doctor Strange before I'd watch another diaper fire like Suicide Squad. But I walked out of Doctor Strange feeling like I'd just gotten off a wild ride. I felt like I had a great time at the movies, but I felt somewhat hollow as well.
I can totally agree with that. And this is the film, you know, I've said it a lot of times, and I like saying that I've said things a lot of times, because I just want you to know how many times I've said them. But the Marvel formula has been completely drained for me. It's been something that's been just, I've been sick of it. Like I said, I loved Civil War. I thought it was a great comic book movie, but it was safe. And that's the problem with the Marvel formula, Brian, is that it's safe. It is the same formula interjected into each and every one of these films. You know what to expect. You know where the story is going. And of course, we're going to get to this in a little bit, but it always features the most mediocre, non-threatening villain ever. Like, and they cast They cast these great actors in these roles, and I'm not sure if it's just that the fact that these people that wrote all these Marvel comic books back in the day or now, they write these villains as just being weak, lame, you know, people that, I don't think that's the case, but for some reason, they don't care about the villains. They know that the people in the theater seats care about the heroes, so they just switch the focus almost directly on the hero the entire film.
Well, yes, I do agree with you there. Mads Mikkelsen plays the villain, the main villain, Caecilius, in this movie. And he's not much of a presence, Justin. I mean, Mikkelsen does what he can with the role. He, you know, he's appropriately theatrical and menacing when he needs to be. But there's no overarching presence of the villain as a threat to Doctor Strange. You mentioned this to me while we were talking about the movie before we started recording, but we see Caecilius in like a pre-title scene tag at the very beginning, and then we don't see him for another 40 minutes in the movie.
Roughly.
And you know, so there's no real forward thrust there. There's no presence of the villain throughout the film. And it's disappointing, because that's one of Marvel's biggest struggles, I feel like, is creating memorable villains, or creating villains that have a presence throughout the series and not just a one-off to kill
outside
off
of Loki.
Of the film.
Outside of Loki, that's the
Loki
only
is an
villain.
Exception.
He's
Loki
the
is
only
exception.
Yeah. Name one other villain that they've done so amazingly with that we still remember them to this day as an awesome villain.
Who remembers Malekith from Thor the Dark World?
I know Epic Film Guy Nick does, and don't even mention it to him, or we will get a 10-minute long Nick's rants on the show. Believe me, we will, because, hey, man, this is just something that it's hurting this movie for me. It's hurting my opinion on this film, because otherwise, when you look at the good compared to the bad, it's all there. I sat in my seat from start to finish, and overall, I enjoyed this movie. I really didn't walk out angry. I didn't feel upset that I was wrong like I did with Suicide Squad, and I'm not DC bashing. I'm not Marvel praising. You know, this film has its fair share of issues, from pacing problems to the fact that a lot of the jokes, again, let's just get to this right here. Let's just get it out of the way. Okay, this film, along with every other Marvel film, they're just getting into this formula where they're like, let's make it really jokey. It worked really well in Ant-Man. I think that's the one thing that Ant-Man had that I really liked about it, other than the fact that Paul Rudd was great in it and it had Michael Douglas. But this, they're just like, hey, let's just make everything jokey. And I feel like for the most part, most of the jokes in this, Brian, fell flat.
Yeah, a lot of the humor was real bad in this. And I don't think that's necessarily the fault of, the actors or anything. But I just feel like I think it's time for a more serious Marvel film. And this could have been it because,
I was hoping it was.
Yeah, because, arguably it's a little bit darker. It's actually the bloodiest Marvel film. It's surprisingly intense and dark at some points, but then you got the little quips, you got the little asides, and then you have a character listening to Beyonce, and it's just like it wasn't as tonally off as say Suicide Squad, but it felt a little unnecessary, especially for this type of movie where Doctor Strange is a more serious character. And to bring these distracting bits of humor to it, I didn't feel it was entirely necessary.
I mean, there are a few bits and pieces here where I laughed pretty hard. But for the most part, and I found this strange, I know you said you had a different experience at your theater when you watched it. But when I saw it tonight before we recorded, almost every single comedic hit that was supposed to hit really hard with the audience and get really great laughs, it really went unheard. There was like really very little laughter in the crowd. A couple of times there were some hard hits, but otherwise it was just dead silence, and I was like, oh man, I feel bad, and not to say that Cumberbatch delivered the lines badly, going back to what you said, I feel like all the actors in this film were great. So we're gonna move right on to that right now. Let's start off with Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange. What are your thoughts on him as the acclaimed neurosurgeon slash fantastical, whatever the hell he is, sorcerer.
He's a sorcerer, dude.
I thought
Cumberbatch was great. I he's an actor that I admire. I feel like he brought a lot to the role. I mean, he starts out the film kind of a little bit of a dick. You don't really like him.
Hey, but you then don't like him at all. Yeah.
By the end of the movie, he redeems himself, and his arrogance actually kind of becomes an attribute, towards the end there. And I feel like he had a really good character arc, and Cumberbatch brought a lot to it. I thought he was great.
Yeah, honestly, going out on a limb here, it's definitely one of the best casting decisions ever. When I first heard he was cast, and obviously this was rumored for a while, Brian, I remember there was a lot of talk about it, and a lot of people liked the idea of Cumberbatch as Strange. He just looks the part, and he definitely did in the film too. He looked absolutely perfect, spot on
a lot
the
of
comics and...
Yeah, there's a lot of like fan art from before the movie of like people photoshopping Cumberbatch onto the Doctor Strange costume, and lo and behold, I mean, they heard the fan outcry and cast the right person for the role. The only thing that threw me off was his American accent.
Oh, come on, really? I thought he did a great job with that.
Why did he need to be American? They could have kept him as British. It would have been fine.
You know how Americans are with their American comic book heroes, they're superheroes. It's got to be, hey, seriously, I mean, it is what it is, I guess. It's funny because my daughter was sitting there during the film, and she kept mentioning that Benedict Cumberbatch sounds like an egg or some kind of a egg-related breakfast that you eat in the morning. And I was like, how about a British breakfast? And she was like, what do you mean? I was like, well, he's not American. She's like, why did he talk like that? Then I'm like, well, that's just because they like to keep, Marvel likes to keep their superheroes as American as possible. It's just something that's tradition, man. You know, it is what it is. But I did think he was great in the role. If anything at all, he's one of the best portions of the film that are there. But there's some more characters there. I'm going to move on right now to one that I felt like was completely wasted in this film. That's Rachel McAdams as Christine Palmer, which is, it looks like she was basically like a love interest / friend / coworker to Dr. Stephen Strange when he's a neurosurgeon before he has his accident. By the way, we're going to get into slight spoilers here, but I thought McAdams was good in the film. However, I thought she was completely wasted. I feel like this is just another case of a studio saying, we need a love interest in this film. This film could have been completely the same without this character in the film at all.
Well, Justin, you wouldn't want to get the impression that Doctor Strange was a gay, would you?
I really don't give a shit. As long as he's doing cool stuff, man. I don't care. You know, it just makes no sense to me. Rachel McAdams is such a fantastic talent. And for me, I'd much rather see her save, you know, her time being in the Marvel Cinematic Universe or in the DC Cinematic Universe or something else, being like a main character, like something big. Like, and this just felt kind of tacked on. I'm like, you know, she's great in the scenes that require emotional weight and everything with her relationship with Strange. That was great. I felt like that was natural. It wasn't stifled. And it didn't feel like it was forced, but I just felt bad for her because, you know, we've seen her in some great stuff in the past couple of years. And I'm like, man, I really wanted to see her break out. But nope, she just took a side role here and it was kind of upsetting.
Yeah, I agree with you somewhat. There was one beautifully acted scene between her and Cumberbatch very early on in the film. And then she's just kind of brushed aside. She's there to kind of be a deus ex machina and kind of get the other characters out of trouble when they need to be gotten out of
trouble.
And
played for laughs too. Hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would agree with that. They cast a talented actress to portray a kind of thankless role, unfortunately. How about Chiwetel Ejiofor as Mordo? What did you think of him?
I thought he was great, and I love this guy. No, I feel like he was good in the film. Definitely very well performed in the film. Definitely an integral character to this film as far as, you know, Strange learning who he is, learning his powers. When he goes and basically... to throw this out there, you know, he does have the car accident at the beginning of the film. He is a very talented neurosurgeon, and his whole goal, he's one of those really ambitious people that really wants to be like one of the best in his field. So when he has his car accident, he loses his, you know, his hands, where he can't use his hands to the ability he needs to do his job and to be this revolutionary surgeon. You know, he goes to seek out to find a way to heal himself. And part of that is when he finds this place and he learns, you know, it's more about the spirituality and learning the inside rather than the outside. And he meets these characters. Mordo was a great character, I feel like, as far as part of the team that trains him and he's learning his way. Even though we don't get a huge backstory for him, I think as far as what we get when he's asked why he's there is this, we're all here because we've suffered something and we're just trying to heal ourselves, or I came into this situation because I wanted to... I believe he wanted to find revenge, or he wanted to remove his demons or something along those lines.
And that's all we needed.
Yeah. And it was totally fine for that character. He was complex, but at the same time, we didn't know all that much about him. And I don't think that we needed to. He was really great in the role. And I feel like his back and forth and his chemistry with Cumberbatch was fantastic.
He also plants the seeds for more interesting character growth in further installments. So I'm excited to see where this character goes, and Ejiofor played him very well. And moving on to Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One.
Oh, now, yeah, we got to talk about her, yeah.
There's been a lot of controversy surrounding her casting in the film.
Well, because it's a man in the comics, isn't it?
It's an Asian man.
Yeah.
And now it's they kind of get around it by saying she's Celtic in the film. But putting that aside, because what really matters here is the performance and the portrayal of the character. So what did you think of Tilda Swinton in the film?
Oh, I thought she was brilliant. I think she's probably the best performance in the entire film, if I had to put a number on one of them. She's great at everything I've ever seen her in. Honestly, Brian, I'm sure you'd probably agree with me. I don't think you disagree. The character itself is fine. It's one of those mentor type characters that we kind of have to have in this film. Going back to the Marvel formula, it's just a requirement. You know, it's there. But I feel like, you know, as far as all of the Marvel films collectively, if you look at the performances and the characters in each one of those films, Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One is a standout for me. I thought she was absolutely brilliant, fantastic, had a great presence. When the action scenes are there, she did a great job. Anytime she's delivering dialogue, you just feel every single moment of it. I couldn't have asked for a better casting choice for me. You know, I am not a huge comic book reader at all. You guys that listen to the show, you know that. So for me, especially Doctor Strange, was never something I read growing up. I mean, I knew who the character was. I always thought he was interesting, but he wasn't one of my favorites. So as far as comic book accuracy, I don't really have anything to say about that with this film. I didn't care that they changed that. I'm glad they cast Tilda. I thought it was a fantastic job.
Absolutely. So we talked about the villain a little bit earlier, but what I want to talk about, Justin, now is,
are you gonna surprise me? Are you gonna surprise me?
No, I just want to make a point. So what I want to talk about now is how Marvel treats its heroes. I think what Marvel does so well, and I commend them for this, Justin, is to introduce to a wide audience characters who are lesser known, maybe a little bit obscure to people outside of the comic book world. Before going in, and you just talked about how you didn't know much about Doctor Strange. Before going in, I knew very little about Doctor Strange. I had read a few comic books featuring Doctor Strange in them, but I'm by no means an expert on the character. But walking out of the film, I feel like I got to know who Doctor Strange is, I got to understand his place in the universe, and I was excited to see more of him. That's something that the DC Extended Universe films have failed to do, in my opinion, for the most part. I don't care to see any more of Killer Croc, you know? I hate Zack Snyder's portrayal of Superman so much that I want him to stay dead. And that's something I never thought I'd be saying, because I love Superman, but just the treatment of the character is so poor. But Marvel has a clear understanding and love for their characters, and that's what sets them apart. You know, there is something to be said for Marvel understands the appeal of their heroes and what makes them heroes, and I fully commend Marvel for that. I love their treatment of the characters. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there.
No, it's great that you said that, because that's going to lead me to one of my biggest problems with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And it's going back to what you said earlier on, is that the hero gets all the light shining on them. And I completely agree with you. They definitely know how to handle their characters. And especially, you know, thinking about what they've done for their lesser known characters, whether it's been great or good or just decent. They did Ant-Man, they did Guardians of the Galaxy, and now they're doing Doctor Strange. Just think of that. Think of how many of these smaller, lesser known characters that no one, I mean, believe me, how many people on the street you walk up to be like, yo, Dr. Stephen Strange, yo, Star-Lord, Ant-Man, you know, 5-6 years ago, 10 years ago. If you're not a comic book fan, you're probably not even, you might even not even bat an eye. But now Marvel's done this treatment to their characters where you're getting these lesser known heroes. And dude, kids are wearing them on their t-shirt. They're selling action figures. Like, it's a big thing now. And they're really giving a lot of effort into bringing these characters out into the limelight. And I do commend them for that. The only problem with that, and again, this could go back to the writing, I don't know, is just the fact that they don't care enough to give us just as good of a villain to pair up with that hero. And that's my main problem. Ant-Man, one of the worst villains of all time. With this...
of all time?
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, and you give me Mads Mikkelsen. I'm a huge Hannibal fan. I'm one of those guys out there, and I've said this on the podcast before. I love the Silence of the Lambs. I love the Hannibal films, so to speak. But I actually love Mads Mikkelsen's Hannibal character, his portrayal of the character, better than I like Anthony Hopkins. He's my favorite interpretation of the character. I love the show. Fantastic show. One of my favorites of the past couple of years. And I was really excited to see him get, you know, picked for a comic book movie to be a villain. He looked cool in the trailers. He looked cool when I saw set pics and stuff. So I was really excited about that. But this villain is another example of, you know, just a weak, paper thin plot device. Basically, like, he's just there for us to get from point A to point B and to move on to the next film. This is the film that gives us the smallest amount of world building that we've seen in a long time, and it seems that Marvel's kind of gotten the hint that we don't need a film that's full of world building the entire time to get us to the next cinematic film. Obviously, there are some things mentioned that are going to get us into Thor 3, some stuff that's mentioned that's going to get us into the next Avengers film,
Infinity War. Yeah.
That makes sense. I get that. Brief mentions, fine. So that worked for me in this one. It's not a film all about world building. So I'm glad they took a note on that. But for me, it's the villain's always going to be a problem here. So that's why when it comes down to ratings of the film and my overall thoughts of it, it's going to suck. It's not going to be as great because I love Mads Mikkelsen and you cast him as a villain and you gave this guy literally nothing to do. He's got some great lines. He stands around some great fight scenes, mind you. So I do want to mention that before we get to our actual ratings and our final thoughts. You know, I thought that the action in this was just brilliant. I thought the fight scenes were great. Yes. They were very well shot. And they were brutal, as you said earlier on in the film. There is some blood to be had. There's deaths in this. They don't care. They're not taking any prisoners with this. They don't care. They just really... they go all out in this one. So I commend this film for doing that. And I have to go out on a limb before I get to my rating here and say this is the second best comic book film of the year, most definitely behind Civil War. And I am not the Marvel guy. You know, I definitely am not that, but just, I can't help it if they're making solid films. So I have to say, I mean, I do have my initial issues that will continue with these films, with their villains. It's always going to bring it down a couple points until they get something right with them, because it just takes me out of the film each time. And I have to tell you, Brian, at the end of the film, I know you said you liked it, but it was very reminiscent of Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, and Green Lantern. And I'm telling you, how could I not see that?
Oh my God. I completely, well, I mean, okay. I can kind of see what you're getting at with the CGI, and but you know what? This movie is on a different level than
it is.
Frickin' Rise of the Silver Surfer. Really? You're going to bring that up in our discussion of Doctor Strange?
Well, hey, man, I can't help but they decided to make, you know, stars and space a villain. Whatever. It's not that big of a spoiler. And I already told them they would be getting minor spoilers. Whatever. You know what? To those people out there listening, it will not ruin the overall film for you. I'm pretty sure it won't. I hope it won't. But if it does, no. I'm sorry.
And you know what? When Doctor Strange goes up against the talking sky, as you put it, it's really clever and it fits with the character. And I thought it was a fine scene. So
fine, you know. Scene. Hearing that word fine from Lois. It was fine. It was okay. It was fine. But you know, moving on from that, I have to say, as you said earlier on, getting to our final thoughts in the film, Doctor Strange was good. Was it great? I'd say no. Was it amazing? Definitely no. But it wasn't mediocre. It wasn't bad. And it definitely wasn't, as you said earlier, Brian, the dumpster fire, whatever the hell you call that. You and Nick like to say that. Diaper fire that was Suicide Squad. You know, as much as I wanted to love that film, and I probably gave it a generous rating, but you know,
You did. Yeah.
This film was good and it was solid. I went to the theater to see the film and from start to finish, I enjoyed the majority of it. And it was visual masterpiece. It gave me something on the screen that I've yet to see. And I commend Marvel for the fact that they're like, hey, you know, we've done a heist film with Ant-Man. We've done this. You know, we've done a political thriller with the Winter Soldier. Let's do a fantasy film with Doctor Strange. And they have the right cards in front of them. I just hope they play them a little bit better for the next couple of films. So for me, I'm going to move on to final ratings. So I'm going to throw it to you, Brian, because I know you love giving number ratings so much. Let's hear it. What is your rating for Doctor Strange?
Well, I'd give it a 7 out of 10. I'd absolutely recommend seeing it at your earliest convenience. It's a dizzying, dazzling trip of a movie that features good performances, some truly awesome action, and some of the most bizarre and gorgeous imagery that you're likely to see in a big budget blockbuster like this. But no matter how strange the film gets, it doesn't stray too far from the tried and true Marvel formula. In fact, I think it's hindered by it.
I agree.
While it's a criticism about the film itself, but I think it has more to do with superhero movies in general. That being said, if you're not sick of seeing superhero movies, go see Doctor Strange. I'd absolutely say it's worth it. It's a good time. It's fun. Go see it. Go have fun.
Well, you know, moving on here with my final rating of Doctor Strange, you just mentioned something. You know, that formula, it does work for them. And rather than take chances, you know, they do have their hold on who's handling these films. Now, we didn't mention this in our reviews, but Scott Derrickson is the gentleman that directed this film, who is known for a handful of films. Now, Nick and I had talked about this on the podcast when we first heard the film. I think it was when you reviewed the trailer. You know, this guy did the Day the Earth Stood Still remake with Keanu Reeves, which is a huge mess. You know, he did The Exorcism of Emily Rose, and he did Sinister, a lot of smaller horror stuff. So for me, I was skeptical, but kind of excited to see this guy's take on the Doctor Strange character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and was hoping he'd do something out of the box. He did, but it still had the more Marvel formula interjected in it. They still had hold on it. And in a world where films like Suicide Squad are making money, Batman, Superman, they're making money, but they're not being well received. This film,
they're not good.
This film is when you look at their critical consensus, this film is getting praise, you know, and it's because, hey man, people go in, they want a certain thing, they're getting that. And I want something different from these films, but you know what? I don't mind when the Marvel formula is interjected into something and they really give us something different visually and they're trying something a little bit different. It does hinder my rating, but you know what? When you're making money and your business is making money, it's like, hey, Coca-Cola, remember that new Coca-Cola that came out in the 80s? Everyone liked Coca-Cola Classic. You bring out new Coca-Cola and everyone flips out and they pick it. They have picket signs and they're like, fuck this. We want regular Coca-Cola back. It's like, you know what, dude? They like the regular. Just give it to them and everything will be fine and your product will sell. And I think Marvel has the idea here. We know that Disney's behind this, so it works.
They're in the business of making money.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it for them. So I understand the business aspect. I just hope in the next couple films, I'm just still praying, Brian, that one of these films will break out and be completely different and just wow me. But Doctor Strange didn't do that. It just kind of, it sat there. I watched it and it gave me a visual treat. So for me, I'm going to give Doctor Strange also a 7 out of 10. I hate to agree with you, Brian. It was good. It was good. I did like it. I didn't love it. It wasn't amazing, but it also wasn't mediocre and it wasn't bad. It had its issues, but overall, I can't fault it for being a good film. So Doctor Strange, 7 out of 10 for me and 7 out of 10 for Brian. We'd love to hear what you thought of the film. Be sure, once we post this on the page, to tell us your thoughts on the film. I know a lot of people out there are loving this movie. It's getting huge praise from general audiences. My wife loved it. My kid loved it. Everywhere I look on Facebook, on Instagram, Twitter, everyone's saying they loved this movie. I totally understand that.
And do you know why that is, Justin?
I do too. But I could just definitely say I don't agree with it, but I totally get it. It was
good. You know why they love it? It's because it's a good movie.
Good. Not great. Not but again, understood. We want to hear from you guys. Thanks everyone out there for listening to this edition of Epic Film Guys Cinema Beat. And hey, don't worry, I'm going to interject this in here. Hopefully Nick doesn't cut it out. I love you, Nick. More Epic Film Guys B-sides are on their way. They are coming soon. That is not going to die. Just a lot of things going on. If you listened to the last week's episode that Nick did, you know, we're just going through some changes. Some things are happening. So we're still going to be coming out, bringing out that content for you. We really appreciate all you guys out there listening and supporting the podcast. But until next week's show, I am Epic Film Guy Justin.
And I'm Epic Film Guy Brian.
And we will see you at the movies.